camp coverage today, including our upcoming snippet in the Beltway Blitz, brought to you by the good people at Paul Henry's Window Installation. PaulHenrysWindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. Welcome back to Grant and Danny, exclusively sponsored every day by the law firm Condori and Murad. They present this program. Schedule a free consultation with their attorneys today at KMLawyers.com and mention us to get a discount. That's KMLawyers.com. We got an outstanding blitz scheduled for you. We will break down the Washington Nationals, who are back in action. You know, when the Nats play those noon games, those getaway day games,
mm-hmm.
it feels like they haven't played in forever because you go two straight nights without Nats baseball, which is just normal for a lot of people. But for me, that feels like a month.
Yeah, I feel that.
I need a fix. I need some baseball tonight.
Now scratch that itch.
The Nats will be back in action, so we'll get to see them. Probably not hit a whole lot. Mm. And then the Commanders in the Beltway Blitz as well. But let's get things started on the gridiron. With the D.C. Defenders, and they're now no longer interim head coach Shannon Harris. He wins the team a championship. You better take off the tag. Coach, thanks for the time. How are you?
What's up, Coach?
Hey, man, thanks for having me on, and everything going well. I appreciate it.
Congratulations to you on the interim tag being removed and being now the permanent head coach of the Defenders. I mean, was it obvious? Did you know it as soon as you guys had won a title that there was nothing else to worry about here, or was there still some I's to dot, some T's to cross?
Yeah, still a lot of I's to be dotted and some T's to be crossed for sure. And, you know, you just want to make sure that, you know, everyone can all be on the same page and making sure things will continue to run smooth. So, you know, we came to that, and so this is where we are now, and very grateful for the opportunity.
Coach, the last couple of months obviously has been an absolute roller coaster for you, taking over, you know, as the interim guy right before the start of the season, you know, then, you know, really running roughshod through the league this year and having the postseason success that you all had. Have you had the chance here recently, now that the interim tag is off, to kind of take a step back and go, wow, what I just did is actually pretty uncommon, taking over for a coach and then winning the championship?
Yeah, I tell you, I get asked that a good bit, man. And, I really started to think about it, you know, coming back for the celebration that we had back there in D.C. and, just to see the people there, our fans, support staff, and things like that. And you start to reflect on the entire season and knowing that, you know, all the hard work and things that you put into it, that moment is what it was for. And so to, you know, just to have that excitement, you know, to have that buzz, the guys are excited for it all. And then, you know, now you can really enjoy the pats on the back. You know, you win one or two games, three, four games, and you get the pats on the back, and yeah, you're doing great. And, you know, for us, we always, you know, talk to the guys like, man, you know, in the words of Nick Saban, don't pay attention to the rat poison.
Right.
So, but, you know, once you, the confetti come down, you go to that celebration in that moment, you know, now you can really enjoy the pats on the back and, you know, tell the fans how much you appreciate them and all those things, even though you appreciate them. But you try to make sure you remain focused and keep the main thing, you know.
D.C. Defenders head coach Shannon Harris, interim tag removed this week. He will be their head coach moving forward. I wanted to ask you about the changing landscape of the league. We found out via reports this week that markets are going to be shifting. Michigan, Houston, Birmingham, Memphis relocating in the 2026 season. It may be a plan to get out of some of the NFL markets and get into some of the more like college-heavy markets. I guess, number one, do you have a thought on that? But maybe more importantly, number two, as this question would be, what's your thought on the health and the state of the league? It seems like in D.C., people have really taken to the UFL. They love the Defenders. How are we doing overall?
Yeah, you know, to answer your first question, you know, I don't know how much – I mean, I still don't know how much truth it is to it. With all the moving around. So those are things that I still haven't
got you. So those are still just reports and not confirmed.
Correct.
Gotcha.
Exactly. So, you know, we're still trying to figure that part out, you know, and then your second question is, I mean, the league itself is in great state, man. You know, there's been so much success from the league. I tell you, you know, the NFL are benefiting from a lot of our players around the entire league itself. So, I mean, those guys are making names for themselves or making their name back relevant. And so in the league are getting guys, you know, that are already contact ready, game ready. You know, they've been through a lot. And so when they get in there, those guys, you know, can take on a lot to where they ain't getting those soft tissue injuries anymore. Where guys, you see, they start out in camp early and these soft tissue issues are coming to a lot of these guys. And now our guys can go in there and be ready to rock and roll from time they get there. So, but yeah, the overall state of the league is doing great. I'm excited about it, what it is doing and going forward, and what type of value it's going to continue to create.
Well, Coach, congrats on bringing DC a title with the Defenders and a well-deserved naming of being the head coach moving forward here.
Yes, sir. I appreciate that, and I appreciate you all having me on as well.
Always a pleasure. Shannon Harris,
Coach,
of the DC Defenders with us on Grant and Danny. Let's talk baseball. Spencer Nussbaum of the Washington Post joins us. Nats back in action tonight. Spencer, I want to start with the trade deadline. Do you think it would make sense for them to trade Mackenzie Gore?
I think it would. Whether it would make sense and whether it will actually happen are obviously two very different questions, as we all know. But I think a guy who's probably not going to re-sign and you're the Nats and you don't think you're going to be competitive within the next, you know, by the end of 2026. You know, it was something that I was tentative on at first, but it's an idea I've started to kind of come around on.
Spencer, you're around this team quite a bit. This is the third series coming out of the All-Star break. Have you noticed any changes to the morale in the clubhouse since Miguel Cairo's taken over here?
I would say maybe a little bit, but not really. I don't think things were, you know, really bad under Davey at any point,
except maybe right after he made
those comments after the Marlins lost a month ago at this point.
Spencer, I'm going to throw you on hold real quick because your phone's cutting in and out. It seems like maybe it's good and then it's bad, so I want to hear what he's got to say.
Something that was interesting to me, too, you mentioned Mackenzie Gore potentially getting moved at the deadline. I want to see how he bounces back tonight. Last start against San Diego, only lasted 2 1/3, got beat up a little bit.
Worst start of the year by far.
Yeah, and it's difficult because we saw a couple of those moments from him and Jake Irvin last year, and that was supposed to be the thing about this year. Could they show the consistency throughout? As we know, Mackenzie Gore, first-time All-Star, has been excellent. Does he bounce back tonight after his first rough start of the season?
Spencer, getting back into the trade deadline for a second. So as far as a primer here, in this final week, Finnegan feels like a certainty to be moved if they could find a dance partner. What about Bell, Lowe, Soroka with the velocity falling? I know Rosario seems like a long shot, but I'm not saying you have to get anything great. The guy does hit 300 with an 800 ops against lefties. Like, who of those guys do you think they might be able to move?
My philosophy and opinion is all of them. I think there's obviously varying degrees. I think Soroka, even with the velocity down, there's not really a value in keeping him. The same with Bell. I think you could make the case for Lowe, although he's obviously a non-tender candidate after this season. I still think because the stuff has been so good with Soroka, at least one team is going to buy that, hey, this isn't just a blip and it's kind of an on-the-edge move. So I think he's probably, after Finnegan, the most likely to get dealt. But I think out of that core of, what is it, five guys, I think we see at least three of them traded, and I honestly wouldn't be all that shocked if all five of them got moved.
Spence, after the mini slump we saw James Wood go through post-home run derby after he started using the simulator, you in or out on him participating in that moving forward?
Still in. Until he's making, until he's making, you know, $40 million a year or whatever down the line, or whatever, you know, $20 million in ARB. I think if you're maybe going to see him 0-for-20 stretch, and then he figures it out right after.
Yeah.
You know, the guy's so smart, I don't think his swing is ever going to break from that.
Which Jacob Young catch has been better? The catch against the Tigers, the Rob Riley Green going sideways across the wall, or his letters clearing the top of the wall going up over the center field fence to finish the homestand against Cincy?
Yeah, I think this Cincy one was better, but the Riley Green one looked more impressive just because he admitted this too. He he misread the ball a little bit against Riley Green, where he ended up catching it kind of at his elbow at a weird angle. So I think maybe the finish was slightly more, it looked better, or it looked more interesting, I should say, on the Riley Green one. But the read off the bat from Cincy was an unbelievable read. And I've only been covering the team for a couple of years now, but I've never seen someone get that high to rob a homer in person. So, yeah, I would say I lean slightly towards the second one, but people forget that Jacob Young is that sort of defensive player, and we see it there.
Yeah, sterling defender in center field. He's reminded everybody of that this month. Spencer, we appreciate you. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Spence.
Yep, thank you.
Should be a busy week for him with the deadline looming. Let's talk football. As I mentioned, our camp coverage presented by Paul Henry's Window Installation. PaulHenrysWindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. Ethan Cadeau, Monumental Sports Network's been out at training camp. Ethan, why don't we just begin with today's messaging from those in attendance? Sounds like the defense had a pretty good day, certainly outperformed the offense in today's session.
Yeah, that's 100% accurate. I mean, Jaden Daniels had two picks in team drills. One was his first throw of the day. Mikey Sanders still picked him off. Probably would have been a pick six if it was live. And, you know, those two are tight. He let him hear about it for a while. And then immediately the ones were pulled off after that. And Marcus Mariota was picked by Tyler Owens. So the intensity was definitely up today from the last 2 days. I would say these guys are starting to itch to really get the pads on, which I think begins next week. But, yeah, I mean, early in camp, the defense is usually ahead of the offense. We hadn't really seen that the last 2 days. Seemed like Jaden was firing on all cylinders, but today was certainly the defense first.
We know Dan Quinn's going to make everyone earn it, Ethan. Jonathan Jones running with the first team at outside corner. Andrew Wiley running with the first team at right tackle. Which rookie do you think cracks the starting lineup first, Trey Amos or Josh Connolly?
I think it's Amos. I think the path is a lot clearer on the outside. You can move Sanders still back into the slot, have him and Lattimore on the outside. I think that path, while it might not be happening right now, I think by the end of the preseason, I think Amos is going to be in the starting lineup. And Connerly, I think, will eventually get there at right tackle. But, I mean, we haven't really seen him run with the ones. As you've seen, it's been Wiley. Even when Laremy Tunsil was out the other day, I mean, he got a little bit of action with the ones. But I think Amos definitely has the edge.
We talked about this last hour. Who would you buy stock in for this year if you had to pick one? Luke McCaffrey or Ben Sinnott?
Luke McCaffrey, and I think similarly to what we just touched on, I think the route to more playing time is right there. I don't see Zach Ertz coming off the field much unless it's due to injury or just they're trying to manage his workload, and then you just re-sign John Bates. I know he's a blocker-first tight end, but he's going to be out there on the field too. So I think for Sinnott, the path to playing time is a little bit tougher than, say, McCaffrey, who's been running with the ones, looks good. I think if I'm picking one person on the offense who could have a breakout year, just overall, I think it could be McCaffrey. He's quick, he's shifty, and he obviously didn't have the rookie year he would have wanted. So I'm trusting the McCaffrey bloodline to show up this year.
Pretty strong endorsement. One thing that stood out to me today, Ethan, I think we briefly touched on this. Boy, do they miss number 17. How paramount is it for him to get out there, and is there a date to where you're like, okay, now I'm actually worried here?
I think once we get through the joint practices, if he's still not here, I'll start to get a little bit worried. I think you guys touched on it earlier, but the extensions that Adam Peters was a part of in San Francisco, Nick Bosa's came down right before week one. There were a couple others around that timeline. I don't think either party wants it to get that long. I mean, like you said, there were a couple throws today where the receivers dropped the ball where you and I looked at each other, yeah, were like 17 would have caught that.
Yeah.
So I think it's very paramount, like you said, for Terry to come back as soon as possible. Not sure how close they are on the deal, but, I mean, it's a clear pecking order with him at the top and a pretty sizable gap to everyone else. And I think the sooner the better for all parties if he could come back.
Let's assume health, okay? Everybody they need and want on the field is available. But the season still goes sideways, and it's a big disappointment. What derailed them?
That's tough. I think it'll start defensively. I have a lot more questions. I mean, Von Miller definitely helps the pass rush, but the edge rushers definitely concern me a little bit. The linebacker depth behind Wagner and Luvu concerns me a little bit. So I think they're defensively could go off the rails first. I mean, obviously, you touched on health, but say Jaden were to go down or Terry to go down, the offense, those are two guys that are irreplaceable. But I think if the season is to go sideways, it starts defensively for sure.
Ethan, we appreciate you giving us some time, brother. We'll do it again soon.
Yeah, see you guys this week.
You got it. Ethan Cadeau, we'll see you at practice. Monumental Sports, that is your Beltway Blitz. I saw somebody in the media put together the list of how many teams they think can win the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, oh, that's interesting. I thought we could do that same exercise. How many teams in the NFL do you think are Super Bowl caliber? It would not surprise you if they won. I think their list was only five deep. Mine will be a little bit longer than that, but we'll get into that next. Grant and Danny on the Fan. That's what this is about? Okay.
You're cutting deep here.
Is this because I have kids and I took them to see Smurfs? Well, what are we going to play next? Songs from Sing 2? Welcome back. Grant and Danny on the Fan. That's Darius Dameron spinning the hits over there.
Yeah.
If you're a big Shrek guy, this is the spot for you. Who sings this song? Is this like Smash Mouth or something terrible like that?
It's Smash Mouth, yeah. And I love Smash Mouth. I think
you would love Smash Mouth.
I love them.
This song is nubs.
It's not. It's such a good song.
I'm sure it's good.
It's so good.
Dad, have you been like, do we play this on the show ever and I just don't notice or what?
I've played it very sparingly. It's on like my third song page. Okay. So yeah, it'll occasionally get the click from me.
This is going to sound like a complaint. It's not a complaint.
It seemed like a complaint.
No. I was talking to CK about this earlier, something unrelated. This is an annoying trait that I have. I just like to know why things happen, right?
Yeah.
That's all. As soon as I know why, I'll move on. And my wife gets annoyed by this. I'm a curious person. It's like, how does it happen that song get played? Like, again, not a complaint.
Just ask it.
If you played it every day forever, that's fine, too. I'll just get used to it. But like you just said, you sparingly play it. It's on your third page. So how do we get to a point at 4:30 in the afternoon today that it got fired? I'm just wondering.
I had up the Beltway Blitz page. Right as I ended Linnell's update. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it says, Grant and Danny coming back from commercial break. I'm sure that's what it said. So I was like, oh, let me scroll over to my, you know, my music pages. And I landed on page 3, and I just was moving the mouse around. I was like, I'm going to play that song.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So it wasn't a
So there was no method to the madness.
It wasn't a random click of the mouse. Like, you kind of saw it, and you're like, Shrek, I love Shrek.
Can I give you more credit? Because I think you're just the best producer I've ever laid my eyes on and ever heard.
Well, thank you.
Think about what we're about to talk about. Teams that could win the Super Bowl this year. When I saw her face, I'm a believer. We believe in these teams.
Yeah.
I know you're thinking. Do not tell him. Give him the explanation
Linnell
he craves. That's all he wanted was that explanation. And he didn't give it to
you. That was... Stretch Armstrong over there.
No, not really, right?
How's Mr. Fantastic.
Yeah.
If I'm watching the NBA draft
and
a big man gets taken, what is Jay Billis going to talk about? His?
Rebounding.
Nope.
Bigness.
Nope. Starts with an R, ends with an H, one syllable. His?
His reach.
Reach.
Okay.
We'd have been here all night.
That was a bit of a reach there. But hey.
I dig it, Darius. And so does GP.
So it sounds like I should hit the delete button on that one.
I'm not the kind of guy that's going to make any big demands on music. That's your domain. Again, I just like to know how things work.
This is like when Danny wanted me to remove, another one, Bites the Dust, because it gives him nightmares.
Is that real?
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's a song that I think he said on a road trip one time when he was playing for the George Washington University, that a road team trolled him because he struck out like every at bat that entire series.
Oh, wow.
That's
tough.
So have you taken that one out of the rotation?
It is not in the rotation any longer.
If asked, this would be what I would say. I don't like that song at all, and I hope to never hear it again.
Jeeps.
Just hearing it puts me in a terrible mood. I'm not going to tell you not to play it. I'm a professional. Like, if that's what you want to play coming back in, here's what I'm going to do the next time. Now that we've gotten to the bottom of this, now that I know it's on folder number 3, now that I know you just kind of clicked on something, play it again. Let's come back in. Here's what I'm going to do. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Commanders out at training camp. topic of the day. Terry McLaurin just showed back up, I wish. By the way, you guys know Shrek 4 is coming back out. Puss in Boots 3 right around the corner. we'll just make it happen. But yeah, if you want to know my actual opinion on the song, I think it's horrendous. And I picture like Lord Farquaad like dancing in a forest or something. Mm-hmm. I'm not 11, so that song isn't interesting to me.
Well, I'll say, as the producer of the show,
yes,
I don't need you in a bad mood. I don't need you in a bad mood during the show. So I will remove that song from Grant and Danny Music Page 3.
Wow, look at that.
Things happening.
We're making things
on the radio. Live on air.
Let's go.
Wow. That's, you want to talk about Radio Insider.
What else is on the folder there? What else is in Page 3?
Page 3 has got a lot of songs on it.
Yeah?
Really? Yeah. You'll have to come over and look one day.
I'll take a peek. Just name one of them. Give me one of them. Give me a little sample.
One of my favorites I like to play. I probably don't play it enough. A little Lowrider.
Lowrider.
You don't play this enough.
Now that's of George Lopez fame. Everybody knows that from the George Lopez song. The George Lopez show.
I think of the movie Gone in 60 Seconds, but that's fine.
Yeah, sure.
Are you familiar? Do you know what the difference is between this song and the Shrek song?
Well, this is definitely a banger.
This song doesn't suck.
Yeah.
Very, very different.
Well, it's for adults, too, I guess.
Yeah, this one not designed for the 8-year-old birthday party at the bounce house. That's the big difference.
And you know what's crazy? I make more of a big deal out of music than you all probably realize. How many times do I text you when I'm driving in the car, listening to the show, and I'm like, Darius, you just came back with something that made me stop my car.
Well, let's not talk about rejoins in you, okay? You play the same rejoins every single segment.
Let me tell you, so I got two kids. I got to look at my Instagram DM to see where they play at Virginia. They now are using this as their walk-up song, talking about the death of auto-tune. So people DM me over it.
It's a good jam.
It's a banger.
I liked it the first one or two or 10 or 10, 80,000 times.
At about the 11th rejoin in the show.
Here we go, ready? Oh! Young is in charge. Gus, we going to overtime. Yeah, Lexington.
I should have expected it. Danny did it when I was in with him.
Oh, did he do it too?
This was way over the top.
Now I feel bad.
You even got Chris Russell out of the cage.
You definitely took it to the next level over where Danny went. That was good.
But it wasn't creative. See, now we're all just doing the same bit. We're all just out here poking around in the same waters. They're going to overtime. Yeah, Lexington.
Yeah, that's a good bit.
Do you? Is it just forever,
so,
or do you change it at some point? How does that work?
So when Lil Top is in studio, do you know who Lil Top is? Ben Strober. When Ben Strober,
I know who Ben Strober is.
AKA Lil Top.
Okay.
When Top is in studio, we play some NBA YoungBoy. We reverse it. We go. Alternate every.
Oh, you're
every
using rejoin. A different song.
I'm using a different song.
No kidding.
Only when Top is in studio, though. He's a big YoungBoy fan. I'm a YoungBoy fan.
That's
so
unbelievable.
We're integrating things.
I actually think that the idea of having your brand tied to, and it is actually like good and catchy. I actually think it plays. It works. Like I'm not even joning.
Well, I appreciate that.
The only thing I need you to do, if we're gonna do like a little bit of like advice here, and I've said this forever, is change your Twitter name.
You, Doc Walker, I mean, everybody,
literally,
CK.
Every person that works at this station, including your bosses, somehow it hasn't changed. You're very coachable, it sounds like.
Extremely
Nell
coachable.
_ BTP doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't.
And you say it a lot. You're like, Nell _ BTP?
All the time. All the time. Because
you just threw letters into a blender.
That's...
Like a Nell _LXR. Like you're That's kicking crazy. Things.
BTP beside the point.
Yeah, it was a podcast you did 9 years ago.
That I never even.
Now
Ryan? We should do a Ryan Explains It All of what BTP means.
You're on FM radio now. Well, the podcast.
Things are different.
You don't call it. Is Beyond the Point the show you're doing?
Beside the point.
Whatever.
Like the point's here.
Right.
Beside it.
Oh, next to it.
Next. Maybe it should be NTP. Next the point.
Linnell Willingham.
Yeah.
What about that?
It's too long. And people butcher my name more than you'll realize.
Nell Will Season. S-Z-N.
Nell Will?
Nell Will.
Not to be mistaken for Lou Will?
I don't know.
We couldn't mistake it for
Lou Dort.
But...
How about Lou Dort? L-U Dort.
This is getting ridiculous.
It would make more sense.
If
you did that. The Nell _BTP. If your Twitter handle was just Lou Dort.
It would be it probably would be better than no BTP. So I was having this conversation with Doc the other day because he plugs it all the time during his shows. How many more followers would I have if I would have had a more
a Twitter handle that people could follow?
Because I see you're like the Twitter king to me. I look at you as like Twitter Jesus. No, you have so many followers. Look,
that's only because I was on the beat and I used and to break you. Occasional news. But that's still, the only way that
you're
I would
swimming in followers. I'm at I think today I'm at like 6.1K.
Attaboy, you're making moves.
How many would I be if I understand that it's hard for the general public.
Here's
to
what
get.
You've done. If you really want my opinion.
Please,
on
lay it on me.
Yeah. You have built and opened a restaurant in an area no one can find. Right?
But it's an amazing restaurant. People love the food when they find it.
It's a great restaurant.
It's just hard to... Okay.
But you went into the forest, right? Then you dug underground into a tunnel. And then you opened a restaurant deep in the forest, underground in the tunnel. And you're like, why is no one coming here?
Where are the people?
I could be listening to your show, hear you tell me what your handle is, and I still can't actually find your Twitter handle.
That's tough.
Let's go to Benjamin in Fort Washington. Hello,
what's up, Ben?
Yo, GP.
What up?
I just wanted to tell you guys, man, when you did that screen just now for Linnell, man, I was at you guys, man. Y'all are awesome dudes, man.
Appreciate you, man. Well, I lost my voice, so I'm glad somebody liked it.
I literally have everybody at Andrews Air Force Base listening to 106.7. I've been listening since 2008.
Oh, my man.
With my grandpa, man, since Holden was on with Danny and Chad was on the airs and everything, man. I wanted to ask you something, GP, because I know you're plugged in big time with everybody when it comes to this. How come the team is it Ron Rivera? How come the team isn't coming back to are they coming back to Andrews Air Force Base? Normally, like, around this time, they come and sign autographs and the kids.
That's a good question.
I mean?
Yes, that's a good question. I can ask. I'll get over there and ask somebody about that. Rivera was probably instrumental, not necessarily in setting that part of it up, but in a lot of their military outreach. Like, I give him a lot of credit. He was
for sure
very military-driven. A lot of the things he did. Now, that is still a focal point. You know this
including
as
the
well as I do, Linnell. But, like, they're the commanders, and they want to do a lot of things with the military. So I'm actually surprised. Pretty sure they did it last year post-Rivera. I'm almost certain they did. But I'll ask why they're not there. A lot of things are different right now because of the construction they're finishing at the facility.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, there are other things they're focusing on, honestly. Like, there's probably some moving that they have to do and planning and things that involve some of the people that are so locked in on the stadium right now. Your team president, Mark Klaus, all of his people, they're 100% stadium-driven, that maybe there's some things that get to fall through the cracks. But I'll ask. That's a good question. I'm not sure. I always like that. I actually covered a couple of those when they were over there at Andrews.
I think
really
last
cool.
year they did like a salute to service where they hosted people.
They do that every year for
so
sure.
That's every, okay, but
is that... Maybe that's replaced the Andrews thing.
Maybe. That's a good question. That is interesting. Yeah.
We can ask. I will get back to you on that. Tweet me at Grant H. Paulson, and I'll send you an answer. Sean in Winchester, what's good?
What's good, Sean?
What's going on, man? Thank you for having me on. I was just listening to y'all talk about the Neil Diamond song, not Smash Mouth, but it's a great song. And I think it should be played more often.
Wait,
I thought it was maybe something good was happening with McLaurin.
You're burying the lead here.
Is it actually? No, I'm a believer by Smash Mouth. I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, no, it's a they covered it. It's Neil Diamond.
Oh, really?
The Monkees. The Monkees played it, made it famous. But as far as football goes, man, we got to get McLaurin back in there. And what's the validity of us getting that guy from the Raiders? The defensive tackle they released. Is that something that could happen?
I don't think very good. You got money to pay him. You need to give it to Terry McLaurin.
Straight up.
And also, you're paying Deron Payne a ton of money.
Yeah.
You drafted Johnny Newton early. You just paid Javon Kinlaw $15 million. So if you didn't pay Javon Kinlaw $15 million and you've got a bunch of cap space right now, then you could maybe turn around and say, hey, Christian Wilkins, come on over to Washington at 17 or whatever it could cost. But they've already allocated a lot to that position, I think. All right, let's get into the teams that can win the Super Bowl next. I want to finish the hour with that. Colin Cowherd had 5. Okay. I just went through it. I have 6.
Okay.
I've got an outlet here that I follow on social who did this exercise. They came up with 7. I can't even get that deep on teams. If they won the Super Bowl, that wouldn't surprise you.
Yeah, okay.
But I want to get your list. You got it?
Let's do it.
All right, we're going to do it next. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Darius is a sweet prince. Goes right back to my one seed song.
He knows how to tickle your fancy.
Lupe Fiasco, and just like that,
everything's good.
You do something like this and totally redeem yourself. You flatter me. Grant Paulson, Linnell Willingham today. Danny Ruye is at the beach. He's out for the weekend. He'll be back on Monday. Linnell.
Yeah.
Colin Cowherd came up with 5 teams that he thought he could win the Super Bowl. I saw someone else do this exercise that had 7. I came up with 6. I'm going to bounce them off of you. I'm going to see if your list looks any different.
Okay.
All right. These are teams that I would not be surprised if they won the Super Bowl this year. I'll start with the Bills. I don't think they need much of an explanation.
Yeah.
But you've got the reigning MVP quarterback in Josh Allen. They have been knocking at the door for a few years. They're ready to kick the thing down. I think they made a couple of subtle, small additions defensively that'll help them. They drafted Dane Jackson, who's going to play corner for them, getting some reviews favorably at training camp already. Tre'Davious White is back in the fold. They've got Joey Bosa coming over to play on the edge. On offense, there's some questions at receiver. They need Keon Coleman to step up. Josh Palmer comes over from the Chargers. Elijah Moore from the Browns. I think they got enough in the running game, too. James Cook's not happy, but he showed up and worked. Ty Johnson, Ray Davis. It's a good enough group. I like the Bills as a Super Bowl contender. Any issue?
No, I think that's probably a lot of people would have them on their list. I wonder what year two of Keon Coleman looks like. I still worry about their like number one wide receiver spot, but Josh Allen's a freak. So I'll give you that.
Team number two. I would not be surprised if the Baltimore Ravens win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Now, we know about the postseason transgressions for Baltimore over the years. They just haven't been able to punch through. But they are the ultimate version of Buffalo in terms of hanging around, and just nothing to show for it because you got Mahomes a bunch of times. But really, other than DeAndre Hopkins, the former Chief, coincidentally, on offense, they haven't added anything to an offense they didn't need much. They've got Flowers and Bateman coming back. They've got Derrick Henry, Justice Hill, Keaton Mitchell in the backfield. Lamar's the straw that stirs the drink. Their backup quarterback, if something happens to him, is better. Cooper Rush, who won some games with Dallas. In the defensive equation, Malachi Starks was their first-round pick.
Love that.
I think he's going to be really good. And they also brought in Jaire Alexander. It was a really, really good move. So their secondary, which was, there was an area where they could have stood to add some talent, they did. Ravens, Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, I think the big thing for them this year is, like, is this going to be the year Lamar gets over the hump? The way he falls off in the postseason is kind of crazy to me. I know back when they lost to KC, everyone wanted to blame the OC. But last year, I mean, you just can't turn the football over in the playoffs and expect to win.
Eagles are the third team, first in the NFC.
Yeah.
There's, again, no real additions here that are obvious. I don't think they needed them. They've got a bunch of guys they brought in that provide depth. On offense, I'm looking at Terrace Marshall at wide receiver, A.J. Dillon at running back. They drafted 2 offensive linemen that are non-starters. But it's the same group you trot back out there. Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Jahan Dotson, Dallas Goedert, Grant Calcaterra, and one of the best lines in the league. Defensively, they're pretty much running it back. Now, they lost more on that side of the ball than they did on offense. They didn't add a ton, but drafting Jahad Campbell in the first round to play linebacker, bringing in a second-round pick who's going to play safety for them, and Andrew McBuka. They also have a couple of free agents that came over from the Giants, and Adoree Jackson and Azeez Ojulari. Like, there's depth.
Yes.
I feel good about the Eagles being back in the NFC Championship game again this year.
They're my Super Bowl favorite. I think I think they have the best trenches in the NFL on both sides of the football. Jahad Campbell, if it wasn't for the injury, is probably a top 10 pick. So for them to get him, very Howie Roseman-like. So, they'd be right at the top of the list for me, too.
They lost 2 of their 4 starting D linemen. You still think they're that good on the defensive front. And I know they've got absolute man-eater in Jalen Carter, and Jordan Davis is still there, and Nolan Smith's a good player.
So Nolan Smith, his role increases. Then they drafted Ty Robinson out of Nebraska, someone that I think can really replace Milton Williams, who may probably be better than Milton Williams. So they just continue to retool up in Philadelphia, man.
All right, the Chiefs are obvious. I won't even spend a lot of time. Death, taxes, Reed Mahomes.
Yeah.
Kelsey's on his last legs.
Literally.
There's such a funny meme going around of Travis Kelce like 4 years ago and Travis Kelce now.
He's
slumped. Have you seen him?
Yes. It's been a drop-off.
Well, I haven't seen the meme. As a player.
I haven't seen the. You're talking about the hair and
the faces. The meme is like it's a complete makeover. Yes. Of Taylor Swift.
He's a different
person. He just looks like a goofy. It's just funny to me. But anyway, as a football player, there's not a ton left in terms of elite impact. Mm-hmm. But I still think like you get him to the playoffs healthy, it's 6 for 65.
Yep.
Like he'll be able to route you up. So all right, we'll put the Chiefs as number four. Then I've got the Lions fifth.
Hmm.
Now, the Lions, I do think, take a potential step back. I just think they've still got a lot of firepower. Not having Ben Johnson is going to be costly.
Yeah.
Having Jared Goff as your starting quarterback and still trying to win a Super Bowl is like eating fast food every day and not getting fatter. But if you can somehow find a way to mask the Goff game that might be looming and not having Ben Johnson, I mean, what else can you do to assemble a roster?
But,
than what they have. Brad Holmes has run a clinic.
Yeah.
Dan Campbell can coach. If Johnny Morton's any good as an OC, then they should win 11 games and very much be in the mix in the NFC.
That's my concern. Like, switching play callers is, like, not a big deal to the casual NFL fan. It's massive to, I think, the players. You got a new voice in your ear if you're Goff. Who knows if he'll have the same tendencies. I think they take a step back because of the losses of Aaron Glenn and Ben Johnson.
Last one.
Yeah.
I got Bills, Ravens, Eagles, Chiefs, Lions. No surprises there.
Mm-hmm.
This is my little sleeper. The Rams.
They're on my list.
Matt Stafford at quarterback. Sean McVay at head coach. It's not Reed and Mahomes, but those two guys are buoys.
Yeah.
You're not going underwater with them. They go get Devontae Adams, who might be an upgrade from what Kupp was last year to go with Puka Nacua. Still have Tutu Atwell to make plays. Still have Higbee. As a tight end, they drafted Terrence Ferguson at that position in the second round.
He's going to be a dude.
I think so, too. Kyren Williams, Blake Corum, and a fourth-round pick in Jerquez Hunter at running back. He should be good as well. Defensively, they brought in two free agents that will start in the front seven, including Nate Landman from Atlanta. Linebacker is very good. I think they quietly had a good offseason, and I think they're the best team in the West. So they're my sixth team of six that I could see winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I agree with it. Really think about how close they were last year to unseating Philadelphia. Like, they were right on the cusp of meeting Washington in the NFC title game. My question with the Rams is health. Like, I don't know if I love the depth of this football team, especially up front along their offensive line. Now, they did bring in DJ Humphreys, who I think is going to end up being their swing tackle or maybe, you know, compete with Rob Havenstein to be the right tackle. But Matthew Stafford, like, is this going to be the year that Father Time catches up with him? Because he's getting long in the tooth. But has not really had any type of drop-off in play.
You think they win the West over San Fran?
I don't get why everyone's on the San Fran train. They just gutted their roster to pay Brock, and we just think they're going to be better than what they were last year? Not.
I don't get that either. So what's your list look like compared to mine, then?
So the only team – I have two teams. First of all, I have eight teams.
That could win the Super Bowl without surprising you.
Yeah, so I have Bills, Ravens, Chiefs, Eagles, Rams. I have my three teams that you don't have. Minnesota. If J.J. McCarthy can just be average, the supporting cast, it doesn't get much better for a first-time starter.
I love the Vikings outside of McCarthy, who I think is going to be fine.
Yeah.
It's just really hard for me to imagine that a first-year starter, effectively a rookie, who's kind of a game manager type, is going to get you to the Super Bowl. Like, because I'd be stunned if he could do that, I got to say I'd be stunned if they do it. But I get it. I think Minnesota slept on. I think they're great otherwise.
They revamped both sides of the line of scrimmage, brought in John Allen and Javon Hargrave. They brought in Ryan Kelly and then Will Freeze from Indianapolis. I have the Commanders on the list. I think Jaden Daniels takes another step forward. The defense is a big question mark with this group.
Yeah, that's why I can't go Washington.
Because of defense? Yeah.
Yes. Their defense just does not look good enough to win a title for me.
Mm-hmm.
But they're like next tier down. I just gave you six. They're the best of the rest. They're also receiving votes.
You're going to hate the last team that I have because I think I'm more in on this guy than anybody in the world. I think the Steelers have a legitimate shot. If Aaron Rodgers can give you – think about the last – when's the last time Pittsburgh's had average quarterback play?
It's been a while.
And they started, what, 11-1 that year? Washington obviously, you know, knocked them off their high horse. But
do you agree with me that Rodgers was not good last year? Like, people act like he was good because he had a nice touchdown interception ratio. So did Carson Wentz in Indianapolis.
Well,
Aaron Rodgers was a jag last year. He was like the 23rd best quarterback in the league. He's got to be in the top half. He's got to be in that 13 to 16 range for what you're talking about to happen.
I think they're going to mask him better in Pittsburgh than they did last year in New York. Like, I think it's going to be a lot of running the football. Arthur Smith wants to run off play action, quick game. Like, all the things that he does well, I think they'll do.
And they're a better defensive team.
Exactly.
And they're a better coach team. It's a great landing spot.
Like their offensive line, too. Like, it's a pretty good group.
I think they're going to be good. I just, when you play Buffalo, Baltimore,
you gotta be able to score.
Even Cincinnati in the playoffs against Burrow, to me, like, there's going to be a lot of games where they're winning 20-17.
Yeah.
I have a hard time seeing them like bringing out the cannons and hanging with those teams.
I'm a Rodgers guy, though.
Shootouts.
Yeah.
For me, he's my second favorite quarterback. Not favorite. Second best quarterback of my lifetime.
Okay. It's fair. I mean, was it three MVPs? Something crazy like that?
Four
MVPs? Like,
yeah.
Stuff that just hadn't been done.
Eddie Goldman at 5:45 on Grant and Danny. Next, I want to talk Jaden Daniels. What does he need to do better in year two?